I'm now going to read the Bible for us. So please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Good evening. Can I just say, as a parent of two children in the kids and youth program, I would like to say thank you. For the leaders, for all that's happened behind the scenes, and for this week. My kids have loved this week. And so, particularly, they're part of the Sixth to Great program. So, any sixth? Oh, you were there? Okay, yeah. All right, there we go. All right. Awkward. Okay, all right. Friends, will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your words. Father, we thank you that we can sit and ponder and marvel at your word to us tonight. And Father, we ask that you would enable us with ears to hear and hearts to understand, so that we may apply and live by your words. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What steps do you take to get ready or prepared for something? For us, for Claire and I, getting prepared and ready to do ministry overseas meant doing a 2-year apprenticeship in a local church setting to discern whether being in full-time paid Christian ministry was actually for us. And then when that discernment period was over, then it was studying 4 years at Moore College. And then when we finally finished Moore College, it was 6 months at St. Andrew's Hall. And can I just say, we love St. Andrew's Hall. This was before the renovations, right? So it was in the communist block, okay? It was in the communist block, and we still loved it, right? I even tried to find a way to repeat St. Andrew's Hall, but I couldn't find a way. I was just not clever enough. Anyway. But it was a really long process. And there were no shortcuts to what we did. I mean, there were moments where we questioned whether it was all worth it. It was not, "Hey, we're moving overseas just out of nowhere," right? Nor was it, "Well, there's no job for us at the end of Moore College. I know, let's go be missios." No, it wasn't like that at all. See, preparing for something requires a certain amount of serious faithfulness as you prepare to accomplish that task or goal. What steps do you take to get ready or prepared for something important? Maybe something important like, I don't know, the arrival of Jesus. And as we come to Matthew 25, we get a glimpse of what it means to be ready for the coming of Jesus. So, but first, let me comment on weddings today and weddings back in the first century. So let's talk about weddings today. There are various components to a wedding, of course, a bride, that's helpful, a groom, yes, and of course the bridal party. Now, focusing on being part of the bridal party, it's not something that's earned, is it? Right? There's no raffle. There's no payment that's needed to be part of the bridal party. Because if there is, it's pretty bad, right? It's pretty bad. I mean, can you imagine if there was some auction to be part of someone's bridal party? I'd be pretty miffed, right? See, being part of the bridal party in a wedding is based on pre-existing relationships or a deep connection. See, being part of the bridal party is a privilege, not a right. And the focal point of weddings in the 21st century is the bride. They wear the gorgeous dress. They get their hair done and the makeup. I've never seen it done, right? But, you know, I'm just speaking from third-hand experience. Anyway, they put a lot of effort to prepare for the wedding day. See, in the Arab world, oh, man, weddings were so much fun. There'd be singing, food, dancing, fireworks. Like, I'm sure I've lost hearing because of the noise at Arab weddings. It's the best. At my mate's wedding, when we were serving with CMS in the Middle East, one of the guests there, he looked a little bit suspicious. He looked around and suddenly he pulls out his 9mm gun. And I'm watching him and he raises his gun up in the air, takes a couple of shots, bang, 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 bang. And then he yells into it, la, 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 la. And I thought, okay. I'm sorry. Now, in the first century, weddings... In the first century, weddings were like what happens, what happens in the Arab world today, except without the guns, right? And they are a little different to what we experience here in Australia, especially from if we're from an Anglo-Saxon background. Before any thought of a wedding in the first century, the groom's father would meet with the bride's family and they would negotiate the price of the bride's dowry at her parents' home. And so, after that negotiation ends, the preparations for the wedding start at that moment. And then all of a sudden, the wedding day would come. The wedding guests were entertained at the bride's place with lots of dancing during the day. And these guests would be entertained at her house until late in the evening. The guests waited for the bridegroom, and when he suddenly arrived, messengers announced his arrival. The bridegroom, not the bride in the first century, is the focus of the wedding. And so sometime around midnight, the groom came to claim his bride and take her to his father's home. And the wedding ceremony and other festivities would happen at his father's home. It would continue into the night. And because it was in the middle of the night, torches and oil were needed as a part of the procession, not only for guidance, because it's pitch black in the middle of the night, but also as a security measure. And so we come to Matthew 25, which comes in a section of Matthew's gospel where Jesus speaks about the end of the age, urging his followers to remain faithful right until the end. And as Jesus begins the parable of the 10 virgins, we are given a glimpse into a future with God's kingdom. And in this analogy, in this parable, he tells us of the certainty of the coming bridegroom. And you see this in verses 1 to 4. And here in these verses, we're introduced to two types of virgins. These virgins would leave the bride again to escort the bridegroom to her at night. And we meet five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And verse 3 explains why five are wise and five are foolish. And the foolish ones didn't prepare with extra oil for their lamps to make light in the darkness and celebrate with the bridegroom. It's like phone batteries. And not all batteries are equal, okay? Not all batteries are equal. If you know you'll be without power, you'll prepare for recharging by bringing what? A charger at the bare minimum. And if there's no PowerPoint, what else do you have? A power pack, yeah? And so focusing on the foolish virgins, what stopped them from taking the extra oil for their lamps? I mean, it's hard to say. We're not actually told what. But maybe, we can speculate maybe. Maybe they assume that the oil in their lamps is enough. Okay. Maybe the foolish virgins are just happy-go-lucky people, right? Maybe they have the, oh, she'll be right attitude that prevented them from taking extra oil for themselves. Maybe they were just so caught up in their new ideas or trends to prepare for their role that they were just maybe a little bit too distracted. Maybe they were just so enamored by their own thoughts and comforts that everything else kind of came second. Maybe they lived for comfort and avoided the pain of bringing extra oil. Who knows? But I think there's something else happening here. I think what is happening here is we have a first century version of quiet quitting. Now, quiet quitting is one of those social media trends. And now, to keep everyone on board, in modern times, quiet quitting is, at the moment, an attempt at a functioning work-life balance, right? Where life is the focus in your life and not work, right? And so with quiet quitting, you would do the absolute bare minimum work and really your heart's not in that job. It's not in that job. You dream of another life or a better life other than your work. You're just going through the motions at work as you long and dream for something better. So how is this parable like quiet quitting? Well, we have the foolish virgins who were part of the bridal party, but they were part of the group. They were insiders. They weren't outsiders being invited in. They were just part of that select group of people. But what we see here is that the foolish virgins were just doing their bare minimum. The bare minimum for their job. It's almost as if their hearts weren't in it. It's almost as if they dreamt of a better life free of any hard responsibility. The other life that they dreamt of was just far more attractive for them. They have a longing not to serve with faithfulness, but a longing for something else while just doing the bare minimum. See, the thing about faithfulness, brothers and sisters, is that faithfulness goes all the way. And it goes all the way because who you serve is important. Who you serve is worth it. See, these foolish virgins, they were not ready to fulfill their duties to the fullest, which is deemed foolish in this parable. See, by taking extra oil, the wise virgins were deemed wise. They were ready for any setback. They were prepared for any type of delay. They were ready to do their job and do it to the fullest. The wise virgins serve with faithfulness. And the bridegroom will arrive at the wedding. The virgins, they're there to do their job in escorting him to their bride, to his bride, with their lamps in the middle of the night. They only had one job, They only had one job, and that is to be ready for the coming of the bridegroom by being faithful in serving him. Here, Jesus talks about his return after he leaves for the first time. He previously describes himself as the bridegroom in Matthew chapter 9. And the 10 virgins are those who are servants of Jesus. Their job is to serve. And they are categorized as wise or foolish. As an aside, I think we need to remember what wisdom is. Wisdom is not about intelligence or book smarts. It's not, right? I look in this room, right? And we are really, really smart here, really intelligent, right? We could power the Pacific with our collective brain energy, right? That's how smart we are. But wisdom is about responding rightly to situations in life in God's world. Wisdom is the right action for the right time, or the right action for the right time in the future. But back to the parable. The wedding is a picture of heaven, and it's going to be a true celebration. When a wedding happens today, there is an anticipation of the bride. And so what do you do at weddings? Well, if you're a guest, you dress up. Well, hopefully you dress up, right? You get all glamorous for the occasion. Let me just say, one of the most dangerous questions that you will ever face is, do I look good in this? Right? Because if you take too long, right, that's too long. If you say it too quickly, she doesn't believe you. Okay, so just take a bit of wisdom for you there, men. But we all get glamorous for the wedding occasion. And as a wedding guest, you arrive at the right time and wait with the rest of the guests and the groom, with the groom, for the bride to show up. Many years ago, Claire and I were invited to a friend's wedding. This was when we were engaged. I remember arriving at the church, sitting in anticipation of the bride coming down the aisle. Then the time that she was meant to arrive came. The bride had not arrived. 5 minutes went by. We thought she was being fashionably late. Then 10 minutes, 15 minutes pass. We're all looking at our watches thinking, what's going on? 30 minutes go by. I was looking at the groom. He was a little nervous. Then at the 45-minute mark, she finally arrives. Now, to this day, I have no idea why she was delayed. I have no idea. But it was no runaway bride. She was coming to her wedding, but she was just a little delayed. See, Jesus in this parable speaks about himself and his followers. Jesus, the bridegroom, well, he's not with us now, is he? He's not with us. But he promises that he is coming. It's a guaranteed return. And so let me ask you this. Are you thinking about quite quitting on Jesus because he's not here yet? Is there something far better than Jesus? Because he's not here yet. Be careful. Be careful. And as we continue in this parable, we come to the surprise arrival of the bridegroom. And you see this in verses 5 to 9. In verse 5, the bridegroom is delayed. And because of the delay, both wise and foolish virgins, they fall asleep. See, bridegrooms in the first century were often late. Suddenly, they are alerted to his impending arrival. This was like a repeated alert that would not go away until he arrived. The bridegroom's coming is sudden, and no one knows when he will arrive. And when we're not told why he has come at a particular time. And so everyone wakes up. The foolish ones, they're totally unprepared for this scenario. Their lamps burn out and they need more oil. They ask for oil from the wise virgins who were actually prepared for this scenario. But yeah, there's only enough oil for 5, not for 10. So it's suggested to the foolish ones, hey, go out and get some more. Go out and get some more oil in the middle of the night. See, without lit lamps, they could not proceed with the wedding, as they could not escort the bridegroom to the wedding feast. Hence the importance of oil. See, the wise virgins, they were expecting the delay of the bridegroom. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken extra oil for their lamps. See, the wise virgins are faithful servants who wait and are prepared for the delayed coming bridegroom. The foolish virgins are those unprepared for the arrival of the bridegroom. They took their role for granted. Now, you might think, how selfish are those wise virgins in not giving the foolish virgins some of their oil? See, you've got to remember, it's the middle of the night, and they need light to do their job. See, lamps were essential for their job. The wise servants needed to serve their master first. Their preparation was praised as wise. The foolish virgins, well, they're just short-sighted. They lived for now and not for the future. See, because obedience to the bridegroom, obedience to the master, takes precedence. The virgins had a job to do, and they were expected to carry it out faithfully. Jesus is the bridegroom, and you have no idea when he will return. He could come back at any minute. But the point is that he is coming back. And this news should provoke a response from us. And that is this: quiet quitting on Jesus when he's not here, that gets exposed eventually. That gets exposed eventually. And as the parable draws to a close, there's a horrific end. The wise are welcomed into the wedding feast, but the unprepared are rejected by the bridegroom. And we see this in verses 10 to 13. While the foolish ones went to find oil, the bridegroom arrived in their absence. Those with oil in their lamps escorted the bridegroom to the party and entered the wedding party with him. Then the doors were bolted shut. A period of time lapses and the foolish virgins have their oil and they're late. They get all their stuff together and they expect to be welcomed in. They plead for the door to be opened. Hey, let us in. Let us in. We're here. They hope that the one in charge will give them some sort of special consideration and allow them in. But you see, the fact that they were not there for the bridegroom's arrival is an insult to his honour. It is an insult to the honour of his family and of his bride. Such is the shame that the only way to deal with it is to deny any pre-existing relationship. Hence, I don't know you. That's how you deal with shame. cut it off completely. Can you imagine the Lord of the universe saying to you, go away, I don't know you. I don't know you. The one who knows the very hairs on your head, no longer in relationship with you, because you didn't make it in the end. You weren't faithful to the very end. This is a terrifying warning. It's terrifying. The foolish were in great danger of missing out, and they did. Have you ever missed a train or a flight, especially when you need to get to somewhere at a particular time? When I was teaching the Bible at a seminary in the Middle East, I would catch a train from one major city, the capital, to a port city where the lectures were held. And sometimes I would stay overnight and take the train back home the next day, or sometimes I would try and take the train later that night. I'll never forget one moment when, after a lecture, I thought my train was at a particular time. So with my bag, I took my sweet time walking to the train station at night because I thought I had so much time. I was just taking in the sights and the sounds of this port city. But as I arrived, the train had already departed. It turns out I got the time wrong. Somehow I misread the time and I was out by 12 hours. Comprehension helps, yeah? Comprehension helps. There was no getting the train driver to come back. There was no running after the train. I missed it. And in the same way, Jesus is coming back. There is a finite time when he will come back. And once he comes back, that's it. Quiet quitting on Jesus has a price. And it's deadly. It's totally deadly. And this parable, this message is for us servants of Jesus. This parable is a warning for us to be ready for his coming. And the way we show our readiness to Jesus is by being faithful, but not just faithful, but a faithful servant to him. It's a warning for Christians to be faithful to the end. It's a warning not to quiet quit on Jesus. It's a warning not to dream of a better life without King Jesus. It's a warning not to be a lazy servant who dreams of a better life without him, but to be a faithful servant who will persevere with him, warts and all, until the end. Until the end. Earlier, I asked, what steps do you take to get ready or prepared for something, especially if it's important? So how do you get ready for the coming bridegroom, the Lord Jesus? The answer lies by focusing on his return and being ready for him. See, what you are faithful to will show itself in what you are committing your head, your heart, and your hands to. See, being ready for Jesus means exercising faithfulness in serving him and living for him, serving his people, persevering until he returns. Don't dream of a better life without Jesus. Don't quiet quit. Don't do Christianese and then give up on Jesus. Because life without him is no life at all. Don't fall away. See, don't quite quit on Jesus and then take the opportunity in the distant future to reminisce about the times when you followed Jesus and in the past, but you don't any longer because you found something better, supposedly. Instead, look at the example of the wise virgins. They are the ones who are faithful to the bridegroom, walking with him, serving him until the very end. See, you can't hide faithfulness, can you? You either are faithful to the Lord or you're not. You can't hide who you trust and follow. You can't hide who you are committed to, because your actions flow from what you truly, truly believe and who you follow. Commit to Jesus through words and actions, through trust and obedience to the very end. And so, let me ask you this. Does the knowledge of Jesus' impending return motivate you to live for him wholeheartedly? Does it motivate you to live for him in your words, in your actions, in your desire to serve him with the gifts that God has given you? See, we all follow Jesus. I'm going to assume that because we're at a missions conference. Do you love him? Do you love his word? Do you seek to serve him with the gifts he has given you? Or are we just a little bit too caught up in the here and now? One harrowing story I heard is about some missionaries who were in the Middle East. They wanted to get married and they fell in love. But they fell in love with a Muslim. A missionary falling in love with a Muslim. And so he was in a dilemma. Eventually, he decided to let go of Jesus and marry this Muslim girl and leave Jesus behind. That's quiet quitting. That's quiet quitting. So don't take Jesus for granted. Don't misuse the grace of God as a means to do as you please. Because one day, Jesus is going to return. And it'll be too late. Let me close in prayer. Father, please give us ears to hear your warning. Father, please give us a heart that seeks to serve you and live for you to the end of days. Father, please, may we see you face to face as our Lord and King and Saviour, and may we never give up on you. Lord, please, would you enable us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.